you know, there's only one way we can begin this interview. Can you do it one more time?
Oh, I suppose. Good morning, Vietnam.
Gosh. For one thing, I think the control room glass is just shattered. You can hold a note longer than an opera singer. Adrian Cronauer probably needs no further introduction, but we're going to supply one for you anyway. Of course, Robin Williams' film Good Morning Vietnam was based very loosely on Mr. Cronauer's experiences as a radio personality during the war in Vietnam. Of course, he came home after the war. He co-authored the film that made him famous. He went to law school. Most recently, he has worked for the U.S. Department of Defense and has a remarkable title, Special Assistant to the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Prisoner of War and Missing Personnel Affairs. And, of course, his mission, however, has been straightforward, to visit sites in Southeast Asia where the search for missing servicemen is ongoing and report back to families here in the United States. Mm-hmm. Our friend Adrian Cronauer.
Not just me doing that, but we have over 100 people here in the Washington area and over 500 people throughout the world whose whole job is just to try to account for America's missing. Actually, I shouldn't say that. That's not their whole job. Mm-hmm. The whole job consists of, first, trying to make sure that nobody becomes missing to begin with. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that people are well-trained in survival and evasion and resistance. And the people who go out to look for them, we want to make sure they're properly trained and equipped as well. Then the second thing we do is anytime there's a report of an American who is missing from anywhere in the world being held captured, then we want to follow up that report as best we can. The third thing we do is try to find the remains of Americans, if we can, at least to find out what happened to them, and if we find the remains, to identify them positively and return them to their families for an honorable hero's burial in American soil.
Adrian, do I have this right? There are 1,000 service people still missing from the war in Vietnam?
We have about 88,000 people who are still missing from all of our conflicts. 78,000 of those are missing from World War II. Then in the case of Korea, we have 8,100 people who are still missing from the Vietnam War, about 1,800, a little more than 120 from the Cold War. And I believe right now it's two who are still missing, two military from the current conflict in Iraq.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a hard thing for families to hear. Are there people still alive in that number?
You can't disprove a negative. Mm-hmm. So it is possible that there are people still alive in captivity. Is it very likely? I'm not sure. In Vietnam, for example, that's been since the mid-70s, yeah, and in many cases much earlier than that. Yeah. And the fact that they have been kept prisoners, if they have been, would make me suggest that they didn't last this long.
Yeah.
But you never know. And that's why when there is any report, we follow it up. Mm-hmm. And personally, I'd hate to be sitting in a foreign cell somewhere thinking my country had abandoned me, for heaven's sake.
Yeah. What are some of the techniques and strategies you use to try and find remains and identify them?
To begin with, we know where a lot of crash sites are just from the reports that we've gotten. And it's not a matter of finding them as much as it is to getting to them and finding the remains.
These could typically be remote areas.
Usually, jungle. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the jungle itself causes a problem because, and we're speaking of Southeast Asia here, the organic material in the soil makes it very acidic. It has a pH about the same as orange juice. Mm-hmm. So bones don't last very long. Yeah. Sometimes the only thing that is left are teeth because nature makes them to resist acid. And we sift through the dirt, through the jungle floor, trying to find them. Now, in Korea, for example, the case is totally different because the soil is not so acidic. We know exactly where the battles were and where the prisoner of war camps were and where the burial grounds are. It's a matter of getting the Koreans to let us go after them. Mm-hmm. We look for historical documents. For example, we have a group of people in Moscow who do two things. One, is what we call oral histories, where we go to our own veterans. Where were you stationed? What happened to your buddies? Do you know if they've died? Do you know where they are buried? But we do this with our former enemies as well. We'll go to the veterans of the old Vietnam Army, Northern Vietnam. Where were you stationed? Did you shoot down any American planes? Did the pilot survive? Do you know where he went to? Do you know where he's buried? All of these things help us.
Extraordinary conversations, though, sound like.
Oh, yeah.
To talk to
they
people
are.
Who used to be shooting at Americans and asking for their help.
But we find when we do talk to them, the actual soldiers are much more cooperative, in many cases, than the governments, because soldiers understand soldiers.
Adrian, what... And I've heard a few voices raise this question over the years. I wonder what you say to people who say, look, this entire issue has become politicized, and we are spending, I don't know, you would know the figure, how many millions of dollars a year?
About 16 million.
Million. Well, let me retract that question. That doesn't seem like much at all. I mean, compared to what they do, I don't mind saying that.
Well, I think a good answer to that question are the words of our former director, who since passed away, a man named Jerry Jennings. He was over in the Middle East. It was at a meeting of the Tripartite Commission, and they were talking with reporters. The Kuwaitis were explaining how they had over 600 people still unaccounted for from the first Gulf War. Mm-hmm. The Saudis explained that they had some 30-some who were still unaccounted for. And a reporter turned to my boss and said, Mr. Jennings, how many Americans are still missing? He said, oh, just one. What? You've come all the way over here, and you're spending all this time and effort and money and resources trying to account for just one American? He looked at the reporter and said, yes. And what does that tell you about Americans?
We're talking to you this week as you're retiring.
Yes.
We've talked. We're friends. You're serious about retiring.
Yes.
Well, I mean, this isn't just on your way to something else, right? You look forward.
Well, I'm enough of a type A personality. I don't think I'm going to sit around and watch soap operas all day.
Okay, this is my question.
All right.
You've done this important work.
Mm-hmm.
You are, as we've noted, a lawyer
mm-hmm.
Of skill. You have one of the great voices of all time.
Well, thank you.
Could you be lured back into something? We have no openings here at the moment,
no.
Rather famously. And we're not the only ones. But do you ever think about that?
Going back into broadcasting, I'm not sure. For the most part, I think with broadcasting, I've been there and done that.
Adrian Kronauer, the legend, he's just retired from the Defense Department, where he was, let me give your title one last time, Special Assistant to the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Prisoner of War and Missing Personnel Affairs.
That takes almost as much wind to say as Good Morning Vietnam.
It sure does. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.